Blog Talk Radio.
Global Village. Get ready as we explore the expansiveness of human consciousness, discuss mystical experiences, and chat with intriguing guests on the unexplained, the mystical, and the supernatural. Remember to call in with your questions live on air, because Dr. Douglas is one of those rare individuals, like Edgar Cayce, Paul Solomon, and Ross Peterson, who found a way to access an energetic merge point where all consciousness and knowledge is shared. Scientists are now calling this the quantum field. So relax, listen in, and let's journey through the Global Village.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, is here, and the show is being produced by Paul Hughes. We're taking a little bit of a direction tonight. We've had some recent experiences within our community, that is to say the Many Mansions community, and we're going to talk about these aspects that are happening where divine beings, religious icons, are all of a sudden, or should I say more than ordinary, are showing up. And some of them are very close and very personal experiences that some of our friends in the community have spoken about. And some of them are meant for you tonight, my friends. It's something's coming, whether this is the end times or the rapture times or those times that have been forecast in the book of Revelations in the King James Version of the Bible. Or the good book, I should say. We are going to discuss that tonight. It's very important that we have a look at our spiritual beginnings. And since I was born into a Christian family, and I was baptized as a Christian, the United Church, and I've married into a very prominent Catholic family, a very devout family, my background has always been in taking a look at the Christian beliefs and churches and systems. However, later in my life, when I became more aware of the spiritual world and I actually believed, then greater consciousness, greater awareness, and more meaning was I given to the scriptures and to religious books and to spiritual books. Now, I'm not saying one is more important than the other. That's not my way. all the words, all the meanings, all the directions, all the guidance from all the holy men and women, or the beings, if you will, that have written these holy books. They, in my opinion, are saying similar things, if not exactly the same things, as to what the spiritual essence is that we're all looking for. What is this power that we have that allows us to have these intuitive abilities or these gifts, as it's recounted in the good books, these spiritual gifts of prophecy, spiritual healing, wisdom, knowing things beyond, and having an association with the heavens above or the higher dimensions. What is that? What is that communication? What is that purpose? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But we're going to talk about and ask you, have you had a vision? Have you had a visitation from a divine being or from a religious icon or from someone that would be a spiritual, meaningful being that would be watching over you? And I'm not trying to say that in a whimsical way. People have these intimate connections with the divine. And right here on the Global Village Radio Show, from people all over the world, we have over the years had people tell us things that they have been in communication with discarnate or interdimensional or highly aware, divine, or if you want to say ascended, teachers, icons, angels, spiritual beings, prophets, the Holy Family, and others. So, you know, somebody might be saying out there like, is that possible? The reality is, of course it is. Why would it not be? If we have a soul and if we believe in the divine, we believe in the creator, that's the number one thing, my friends. In all the world's great religions, you get to choose whether you believe in a divine figure, a great creator, a God Almighty, which is the name I have for God, although God is known by many names, by many organizations. I prefer God Almighty or the great creator because that sort of sums up this creative force, this life force, this creation beyond what we understand creation to be. So in using that term, of course, everybody's had an experience or should expect to have an experience. Do you is the question. Have you had an experience? Do you expect to have a religious experience or a communication with the great beyond? Now, people practice earnestly for long times in meditation or contemplation, looking for that light or to hear that still small voice within, to contact that essence of your spiritual self. Well, if you're a believer, that is to say you believe in God Almighty, or a single God, I should say, then of course you do. Of course you're looking for an experience of communication. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because many people have had recently communications with divine beings. Now, I have seen them in these divine beings. They have appeared to me over a period of years, decades, sort of one at a time, that I was introduced to these various divine, high, ascended masters, teachers, beings. Okay, it's hard even to describe them, isn't it? But these beings have appeared to me over the years. There's about 19 of them that have appeared. I should say around 19, because I think there's been a few more that I kind of grouped together. If you get the Holy Family, that's Jesus and Mother Mary and Father Joseph. And if you look about that, I don't say that's one, the Holy Family. But maybe there's others that have appeared to you or to your friends. But in particular, at this point in time, there seems to be an urgency. That's what I'm perceiving, and that's what the show is all about tonight. From 2023 to 2028, it's a time of chaos, and it's a time to usher in Christianity, for the 21st century. At least that's what I see my job is at this point in time, along with my good friends and those people in our spiritual community, in which we have a church service, we have a spiritual service, a virtue healing service on Sundays, and we have other helplines, and we have other services and classes in developing, in development, I should say. And you're welcome to go to the website, internationalschooloftheprophets.com, and sign up for an email, or send an email directly to manymansions, that's plural, 144 at gmail.com. And we'll see to it that you'll get a personal invitation to come out on Sundays and experience what would be a spiritual experience. We have a talk. We also have the spiritual healing or laying on of hands. And this service is on Zoom. And, you know, on Zoom, this electronic medium that we call computers and internet and et cetera, that seems to be able to carry this virtue energy all over the world through this medium, we'll just say internet, although it's more computers and different things like that. But it will go to you, and you'll be able to feel or sense this divine energy, which is another way of communication. It's a feeling sense. It's one of those clairsentient abilities. But to be able to perceive and understand and prophesize, that's clairvoyance, which we believe each and every one of us should be able to do. As you aspire to become more spiritual and understand the spiritual rules and the spiritual laws and the spiritual world and dimensions, you automatically learn how to do that. And sometimes the big surprise is you're already doing it. You've had divine beings show up in your dreams and you say, isn't that wonderful? Mother Mary showed up to talk to me last night. Or, oh my God, you know, I had my Satya Sai Baba, my guru, show up and talk to me. Or I had Mahatma Gandhi or Catherine Kluman or Saint Germain. Whoever is meaningful to you, these spiritual beings who are loving and divine will come and help us and assist us and guide us and watch over us, because we expect them to, and because we need them to, because we are attempting to be a better spiritual being while we're here in our lives in the world. So that's kind of the premise how the world works. And if you're a believer and you want to know more about the spiritual worlds and the beings that exist there, then you're going to learn about them, read books about them, study them, and you're going to try to emulate their love. And you're going to develop this ability, the soul's ability to dream and interpret dreams. You'll have a communication system through meditation or contemplation, daydreaming even, you know, that works when your mind shifts and focuses on the spiritual aspects. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the recent communications, in particular that Jesus the Christ has appeared to some of our friends in our community. He's appeared to me on 3 occasions and appeared to others as well. So the number to call tonight to let us know if you had a divine experience is, of course, to call in on the guest line, 718-766-4421. Again, 718 is the area code, 766-4421. And again, don't feel shy. Tell us what happened. I'm going to tell you what some of my friends have seen and what other people have seen who have visited our shrine on Hamilton Beach in years past. But I want to hear if you have had a recent visitation. Not because I'm prying, not because I'm curious, not because I'm writing a book, but because I want to see if there is a widespread communication from spiritual beings into our community in the Global Village and what those messages and what those references might be. I'm going to talk about one in particular that came recently, just a few days ago, and it is a shocker. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Meanwhile, joining me on tonight's show is my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to hearing some of these revelations, these visitations.
So, yeah, you're familiar with these things as a student of spirituality and understanding the Holy Family. And I know you've had some insights through your own researches and dreams and visions. Have you ever come across, or had a personal communication with the Holy Family or any deity or spiritual, let's say spiritual being. I kind of hesitate to say spiritual being. I'd like to say some spiritual master purpose, you know, but let's just leave it to say spiritual being. I know you've had a few references and encounters, but anything you'd like to share tonight about something you've seen just to start to show up?
It's difficult. Some of the I've seen visitation from Jesus many times, and I with Mary once, but a lot of the messages are very personal to me.
Of course.
So I'm not sure how much I can tell. I mean, I'll give you one example. Jesus appeared to me, and he went around behind me. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I've got your back." That's very personal, but that's not the most personal thing that has been said. So, I mean,
well,
it's not always
so tough,
earth-shattering, not earth-shattering or globally important, but it is important to me, and that's very significant to me that it tells me I can move forward without fear. Which is important in these times, during these times of chaos and turmoil and great change. So,
well, of course, I mean the idea, however you're classifying it, you know, evaluating what was given to you, the point being is that you had a visitation, and Jesus came to you and put his hand on your back, or said, "I have your back," or something like that. That is significant, okay, and that's what we're looking for tonight for our callers out there. If you've had any such similar experience, and of course, you know, you have personal, what would you call it, interaction with the divine. Well, we're not trying to pry on anybody tonight out there. We're looking to see have you recently had an interaction with a divine being? And Doug has said he's had many experiences with Jesus. Or with the Holy Family, and this one he accounted. Were you in trouble at that time, or why do you think that he came and at that, whatever was going on in your life, what do you think he came at that moment? What was the purpose, you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I've had several visions of a chaotic world in which, like, for example, one of the most recent ones was last May. I had a vision that there would be increased lawlessness in cities and gang warfare, and quite extreme. And I'm increasingly over the years becoming more and more concerned about what's happening in society. So that could be part of it.
Okay, so that's important. And my friends, if you've had such visions of the future, in part that's why it's important tonight to do this show, because of what recently has come up with some visitations of what people have reported to me. And so Doug was having visions of chaotic times and some, chaos in the streets. And you think that was the reason Jesus showed up to reassure you he's got your back, meaning you're okay, he's going to protect you, or because that's usually a saying people say, "I've got your back," means, you know, I've got you covered, you know, I'm protecting you. What do you think?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think there's more to it than that, but I think that had a great deal to do with it, yes. Well,
the number to call is 718-766-4421. Again, 718-766-4421. Call in and let us know your stories, what your experiences are. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, for me, it indicated to me that my life was on path. I was on the correct path, and I didn't have to worry. Just move forward with a life path, and he had my back. So,
well, it's kind of nice if you look at it. There is Jesus the Christ comes to visit you, gives you some reassurance in such a way. That's why I asked you what it meant to you. Was it, "I've got your back"? In other words, don't worry, you're safe, you're okay. And that's why I asked you the next question was, you know, sort of what was going on in your life that he would appear. And then you said you had these visions and dreams, worrying about the future, seeing the future, because many of us, my friends, we've seen these times coming that lead us to understand, is this the end times? Is this the time when the world's going to change? The Mayan calendar predicted a sudden and great change in the world. That seems to have happened when the COVID came along. In a day, so to speak, the world changed instantly, and the world has never been the same since. Never. And it's not going back to the way it used to be just a few years ago. So worrying about the future, being concerned about the future, it's nice to have a divine being, especially if you're a Christian, your religious icon, deity, figure, or hope to come and assure you it's okay to have your back. Matter of fact, it's quite a compliment. And I'm sure if you have different people in different religions would have a deity to come to you and talk to you in your religion, it would be equal. It would be the same as what Doug is relating here tonight. So, not to belabor the point, but that was a relief. And that would give someone hope. That would encourage someone that these times that are coming are difficult. They are coming. We've been prophesizing on this show. We've been giving predictions and outcomes of various circumstances in the world. And many of them have come true, already happened, that is to say, and some are yet to be. But we're looking more tonight to understand at this time right now, 2023 to 2028, is going to be a time of uncertainty. And as it is a time of uncertainty, just like it was in the ancient times, I shouldn't say ancient times, I could say older times, at the time of Muhammad, the time of Krishna, the time of Christ, the time of Moses, that it was at these uncertain times, these earth-changing, society-changing times, that these divine beings showed up. So it's kind of like, you know, think of it. You don't go to the doctor when you're feeling okay. You go to the doctor when you have a problem. And so these spiritual beings are coming into the world, not when everything's going well, not when we're in a productive state and harmony and the world's reasonably getting along well. They come at a time when it's difficulty, and there are coming difficulties. I think it was Mother Mary appeared over Bosnia and Herzegovina back in 1982. And I remember that was quite a phenomenon. It was in the newspapers and was on television. And people were talking about this appearance of the Holy Mother Mary appearing in the sky. And people were saying, why is she doing this? What's going on? And then it was reported that they could hear the word Mother Mary was saying to everybody. And it was one word, peace, peace. And of course, nobody really understood what that meant. Not too long after those appearances, you know what happened, my friends. Bosnia and Herzegovina turned into one bloodbath of a civil war. Neighbor against neighbor. Ancient tribal hostilities and prejudice came out. And I remember seeing some scenes where somebody came to the front of a house and machine gunned through the door, killing the family and the children and the women inside the house. That kind of violence. And then the bodies were concealed. And then, you know, eventually it was Bill Clinton that came along, President Bill Clinton, that did something about it in a military way and stopped the evil that was going through that country. But Mother Mary appeared over Bosnia and Herzegovina, somewhat called Czechoslovakia back at the time. And that was why? Because there was this evil, this genocide that was coming. And of course the word peace meant don't kill each other, be peaceful. And it was repeated. Only after the fact, when this great genocide was discovered, and I'm thinking in my head, I can remember seeing the news reports where satellite pictures would have pictures from space. Great, huge areas had been freshly dug up and put back down, and later on when the examiners went there, they found they were mass graves that were done overnight, so to speak. Only then that did it come to the understanding that Mother Mary was appearing in the world over Catholic countries, Catholic devotees, if you will, believers, and was commanding, telling, referencing, or saying, peace, peace, peace. And it didn't happen. Is that happening today? I believe it is. And I believe that Jesus the Christ has appeared to some people I know and people who have in recent times have had appearance. They're now having a reappearance. And so the question, why? Why is this happening now? We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back after this and we'll get more into why these divine beings are coming into our world and visiting people, ordinary folks like you and me, and what their message is. We'll be right back after this.
Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom.
Who's God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who's my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at douglasjamescottrellstore.com or Amazon.
Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show. With space exploration growing in the news, including the Artemis 1 rocket soon to orbit the moon, we're focusing on the story of Boriska Kiprianovich's You're listening to the Global Radio Show, the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at 718-776-4421. Douglas, I'm just getting all jumbled up here on my first night back. 766-4421, area code 718. Call in and talk to Dr. Douglas and Doug Bentley.
And the reason that is because Mercury is going retrograde as of December 28th to January 18th and then April 21st to May 14th and then again in August 23rd to September 14th. So we're right in the middle of a retrograde, a really heavy duty one, according to my good friend Les who I spoke to recently. And then after the 18th of January, there's going to be another 2 weeks of a shadow period. So I know you've been off having a wonderful birthday party and, you know, New Year's, a belated New Year's celebration perhaps, but with the family and all that. But it's, don't worry, all these buttons going a little haywire. Even when we started up the show tonight, if we were having some issues and we just got in here by the hair of our chinny chin chin, it's because there is this Mercury retrograde. Now, if you're Kevin McCarthy and you've just gone through 13 votes to be Speaker of the House, you can kind of appreciate that Mercury going retrograde is delaying things and misappropriating things, and you're kind of off track. However, perseverance, and you get there. And I understand in about half an hour, the 14th vote for Speaker of the House, the Republican Party, is going to happen, and it looks like it's almost a sure thing. You know, if we don't get it right, what the heck, 12, everybody thought 12, or 13 votes, okay, but now it looks like it's going to be lucky 14. However, until somebody, one astute broadcaster said earlier tonight, only when it's signed, sealed, and delivered, thank you very much, when the interim Secretary of the House, who's acting as the Speaker of the House, gavels down that he's been elected, then everybody will rest assured. So don't worry about that at all, Paul. Paul Hughes is our producer, everybody, and as you know, he's on the show with us from time to time. And we're still getting reports in about the last time we had a conversation with Doug and Paul and I about cocoa and mushrooms. No, cocoa and marshmallows. What am I thinking? There we go, Mercury. Let's blame it on Mercury. The devil made me do it. It's mushrooms. Anyway, I've said that about four or five times. You can expect an increase in delays, frustrations, miscommunications, and even technological mishaps when Mercury is retrograde. So says Google here. So there we go. So back to the story. The understanding just before the break, something is coming that is going to be really bad. I'm not talking about politics now. I'm talking about an appearance of Jesus the Christ. And this is the most important thing to remember in the show tonight. A very trusted, well-experienced, aware person I know had this vision or visitation. In this moment, Jesus the Christ appeared in all his wonder and splendor. And he was serious, and he looked forward and spoke directly to our friend. And in his hand was a metal implement. It had a handle. And it wasn't clearly seen, but our friend thought it was a large knife that a butcher would use, like a cleaver. It was a broad knife. I would say perhaps a curved sword. Jesus was standing in front of the Shroud of Turin. And he leaned back with his hand or arm in the air, and he pressed this metal implement or blade, sword, or cleaver against the shroud, which my friend was quite startled by. Was he going to cut the Shroud of Turin in half or what? Instead, Jesus spoke in a very bold and straightforward manner. And it went something like, to the believers across the land, this is a test. To the unbelievers, this is a test. And he took, my friend took from that meaning, with the knife raised against the Shroud of Turin, that there was going to be a swath, that if you were a believer, you would be saved from whatever this time is coming, whatever this catastrophe is that's coming. And if you're a non-believer, then you're in jeopardy. pay attention to the details in that. And I haven't quite got it right because I forgot a few of the details. But the idea was that Jesus was appearing and he told our friend that this was a message he should take forward to the people. And so he's telling me, has told me, I should say, and I am informing you. And this is why I decided to talk about this tonight. Is this the end times? Is this the time of rapture that are predicted in the good book and Revelations and in other writings of the apostles? I also spoke to another friend in a different part of the world, in America. And he, just a few nights ago, had a startling dream of several storms coming, one after the other. Somewhere looking north from the Caribbean, across the land. Now, I'm privileged in as much as I talk to several people. I'm sort of like the center, the hub of the wheel, if you will. If you look at a wagon wheel with spokes, I'm in the center. And people from different parts of the world talk to me at different times, unbeknownst to each other. And I have the privilege of listening to what they have to say. A third message was given from somebody in Spain. This man's a medical doctor who regularly has communication with the Holy Family. I say regularly, I mean occasionally, you know, every now and then, not every day. It's not a telegraph. It's not pick up the phone and call up and say, hi, how are you doing? It's me again. But he has on a more frequently and regular basis than most. And he too feels that there's something coming, in particular that in talking to Jesus the Christ, that he was warned that something's coming. I didn't get the details because I was getting it secondhand through a friend, mutual friend between himself and myself. So that's in a very short while. I've been given this communication, which I'm now communicating with you, that Jesus the Christ has appeared. And there is a warning. Something is coming into the world in the very near future. Now, that could be a couple of months. It could be within a year, maybe a little longer than a year, maybe longer than that. But something is coming, and there is an urgency to put this announcement out there so that there would be believers. And all you have to do to avoid this catastrophe is to believe in God Almighty. God Almighty. Not Jesus, not somebody else, not Saint Germain, not Moses, not Muhammad, not Krishna, not Lord Ganesh. Okay? But God. So how do we do that? Well, if you are a spiritual-minded person, you already are aware of the spiritual influences that are out there. You may already subscribe that there is an all-powerful being, an intelligence and a consciousness that goes throughout all of the galaxies, all of the universes, all of the heavens above. To be a believer is simply to confess, state, or witness that you believe in God Almighty. And of course, it makes perfect sense. For people who say they have trouble believing in God, well, I say to them, not believing is illogical. Some creative force constantly works all the time. Things are constantly created. Birth is happening all the time. It's natural to expand your mind, natural to understand you have the consciousness that we call a soul. And the proof of that, at least in the most simplest way, is people who have had near-death experiences. In short, they took a little trip over the fence, across the river, across the road. They perceived what was there. That is to say, what it looked like. Who was there? Their deceased relatives, their friends, their parents perhaps, or their guiding light, their teacher. And then they came back. Most of them had very pleasant experiences. A small percentage had unpleasant experiences. Irrespective of pleasant or unpleasant, they had experiences of the other heavens or the heaven, the dimensions above, over there. And they came back and they remembered. But also they remembered, they were self-aware. They were aware of their own soul. And they came back with no doubt that there was life after physical life. No doubt there was a spiritual world and existence. And no doubt that they were there. And further exploration of that, because sometimes the most cynical of us would say, well, that's all fine and dandy. We all know about the white light and the tunnel and you get to see your relatives on the other side. We all know that stuff. We've heard it 1,000 times. Well, in the research that's been recently done, people who have been blind since birth, who had a near-death experience, for the first time ever were able to see when they were in their spiritual body. They were able to look around and they could hear and see things for the first time ever. They were seeing through their spiritual eyes. And when they came back, they of course woke up, they were still in their body and they were still blind, but they were able to, in detail, describe the experiences, describe who was where, because they were watching the people lean over their body in the hospital. They were watching and hearing the conversations. Now remember, they were totally blind, so how could they possibly see these things unless, of course, it was from a spiritual perspective? Hence the understanding that the soul was self-aware and regained a perfect health. After all, it's the physical body that suffers, not the soul. The soul is the essence that's inside of you. It's immortal and it's indestructible, believe me. And so this research into out-of-body, near-death experiences, these occurrences where people are able to see and perceive things while they are clinically dead. Their body is basically dead, meaning no life or lifeless. That gives to the experts and to the cynical some evidence about this life after life. To us who are aware of our soul, and to those of us who have had similar experiences, something similar to what Doug had described, something as I've described to our friend when Jesus the Christ appeared to him, giving him a divine message, knowing that my friend had the ability to broadcast this experience he's had, and also by giving it to me, that I have the ability to broadcast this experience. What's happening? There is a need for this vision, this warning, to be given out. So everyone that you talk to, everyone that you know, you can send them back to listen to the show. That's the long version. Or you can give them the short version, which is Jesus the Christ has appeared to more than one person. And Jesus the Christ in this particular vision has said, there's a big test coming. It's like a swath is going to go across the land. There are storms coming. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we get more information in the future. It's going to cause great upheaval. Have you had such visions? Have you seen a little piece of the puzzle, so to speak? Have you seen these things that are about to happen? Have you seen storms? Have you seen disruptions in the economy, the weather patterns, how we get along with each other, how we supply our groceries and those things we need in life? Have you seen any disruptions? Have you seen great storms? Have you seen black clouds? Have you seen a nuclear explosion in the Ukraine, as I've discussed on this show many times, or at least a few times? Let us know. Call us in 718-766-4421. Because as the more we hear about this from people who are disconnected, they do not communicate with one another, and they've had similar experiences, the more powerful the message is and the more certain the message is. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We are becoming aware, and by becoming aware, we can be prepared for this time of shortages and difficulties, which will be temporary. Or maybe we can even divert it. In other words, not to be so severe. And maybe, we can completely negate its effect. But understand, Jesus the Christ has shown up to give us a warning, to beware, that it's a test. Thinking about that over the next few days, it's a profound understanding that we're being given this message, that we're told that something unsavory or difficult is coming, and it's a test. How do we pass the test? Again, first thing and first thing only, to be a believer. And then hit your spiritual book and look on how you can be a better spiritual being. Not the whole book, just a few pages, a few comments will help you get closer and closer to that greater understanding. As you pick up a book and you start to read it, things will jump off the page. And that'll be your message for today. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not resist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. That was something that just came to me in preparation for the show tonight, and I thought I'd read it. To be a believer is to make yourself better. It's to take spiritual responsibility for yourself. And then to do all the things that you know that is right or correct. And don't allow anyone else to dissuade you. Be zealous in your belief. Be proud of who you are, but be humble. That's a way of demonstrating your belief in God Almighty. Because, my friends, you are supposed to be here now. You and I and everyone listening is in the world now because we're supposed to be here now. So whatever is coming, whatever extreme or difficulty, we shouldn't be afraid. We should embrace it and say, this is a test. I am a believer. I believe in God Almighty. And therefore, if I'm a believer in God Almighty, then no harm's going to come to me. You heard Doug's vision of being concerned of difficulties in the world, and Jesus appeared behind him and said, don't worry, I've got your back. That can happen to you if it hasn't already. I have no doubt that I'm going to be safe and that my future is assured. I'll survive and I have a purpose because I have foreseen the future. That gives me the edge, as it should you as well. To be a believer is to have no doubt. That's the test. If you don't have any doubt, then you believe. So whatever's coming, whatever storm, whatever this swath across the land, this whatever this cause is for Jesus to appear to our friend and give us this message with so many symbols in it, then there's hope. Have you ever thought of the Shroud of Turin as a symbol of hope? It is. The shroud represents the overcoming of the great and last demon, the great and last evil, death. The last great conquest of darkness, of evil, meaning the absence of love, was Jesus overcame death and he was resurrected. There are other prophets in the Old Testament that have been in such favor as to God, they were in such favor with God that God allowed them to ascend with their bodies. Think about that. And so if we understand this as to the shroud, which is the imprint that was left of Jesus the Christ's body, when it, whatever it did, it had some sort of radiance or some sort of power where the body was, you know, leaving the imprint of his front and his back on the shroud, because the shroud was basically a long thin sheet that was underneath him and was folded over his head and went back down to his feet again. It was just a long ribbon of about 14 feet, maybe longer. And that imprint of his physical body, as the soul, as the cells separated or disintegrated or whatever they did, they caused this imprint radiation, if you will, on the shroud. The reason that's given as an imprint, and the reason I say it's hope, is it demonstrates that we too can rise to such understanding and knowledge that we can live forever and take our body with us. That's how it's supposed to be. Okay, someday, somewhere, somehow, that's going to happen to me. I don't think it's going to happen this time. I hope so. And maybe it will. And we should all hope, and we should all attempt to go in that direction and see the Shroud of Turin as a symbol of hope, because that is what's in front of us, that we will rise up and be so spiritually aware. We will have the greatest spiritual experience that a human being can possibly have. We'll become avatars. We'll become perfect souls because we've overcome all the evils, all the difficulties, all the tests that hold us back. That said, all you have to do tonight is believe, and believe from this moment forward. I take it as a privilege to be able to demonstrate spiritual abilities here and making predictions for you or talking to you about spiritual rules or laws and having people on, guests or my co-host and producer here talk about things, because it reinforces what you already know. And then maybe it just increases your knowledge a little bit and gives you something else. It gives you proof of clairvoyance, of future seeing, of prophecy, of dream interpretation, and all the other things that we've had as topics on the show. We are illuminating the words of Christ. We're illuminating the Christ consciousness, aren't we? And to be illuminated means to be aware. Simple as that. So tonight, if you have such an experience or in the next little while, if you have a mystical or spiritual experience, let us know. You can email us or you can come back next week and tell us, Douglas, I had this vision, this apparition, this consciousness. I heard Mary's voice. I heard my guru talk to me. I saw something clearly. I saw heaven. Or I saw the great test that's coming. We'd like to hear that because that helps the rest of us be a little more assured, to have a little more faith. But tonight's show is dedicated to the Christ, the consciousness that we call Jesus the Christ, that soul that came into the world, born into the family the same as you and I were, raised through his religion. He was a Jewish child, went to the church and the temple, I should say, not church, oh my gosh, went to the temple and followed all the religious teachings and procedures and customs. Why was that done? To show us that we too, going through life as humans, is the way. And the only difference was his divine experience or knowledge, what became the example of his life. Again, showing us, he didn't come out of the sky as a powerful being. That would have separated him. But coming into the world as one of us, going through a human life, you know, practicing in his father's footsteps, being a carpenter before he became the Christ. All those things were showing us this is the way. Ordinarily, we live our lives, but something, some spark, some moment, and we're uplifted. We become more aware. And after that moment, we continue for the rest of our lives to attempt to become more aware, more spiritual, more perfect, and to apply the spiritual laws as they become aware, or we become aware to them, I should say. Have you had an experience? 718-766-4421. We're going to take a short break and be back right after this, and I'm going to tell you some of my experiences and what I think about your ability to get in contact with the most divine. We'll be right back after this.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell with co-host Doug Bentley.
And welcome back, my friends. Did you know that Mercury going retrograde will affect every zodiac sign? according to Stylecaster. I'm not sure what exactly he means by that, but how will that mercury affect you? Well, apparently it's been affecting my microphone here just a minute ago, and we've managed to massage it. I strangled it and shook it, and there we go. Mercury retrograde is rarely ever a good time, so says Google. And to start something new, this is a period of renovation that allows you to tie off loose ends and make your peace with the past. That's what's going on. Instead of expecting everything to move forward according to plan, you can expect frustrating delays and miscommunications to impede progress. Okay, tell me something new. How does this happen to you? Is this, you know, somebody once told me about zodiac and astrology and things like that. I'm not an astrologer, but I found that it has some influences. So it's a good thing to pay attention when somebody says Mercury's going retrograde, because then you go, uh-huh, I got it. So we're going to go to the, before we get much farther, we're going to go to the patient people who have been Mercury retrograde waiting here in the queue, and we're going to go to some people in Chicago, and we're going to go off to somebody in New York. And the number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. I hope tonight's show strikes a chord with you tonight to understand, make a note, what is a believer? How can you improve your belief in the great creator? It can be any which way. It doesn't have to be a specific way. But to believe in God, the great creator, that's where it starts. And it's like one door opening and then another one and another one and another one. And every time another door opens, it's another piece in the puzzle coming together to give you that greater understanding. And as I said before the commercial and the tease, it was, Jesus appeared to me a long time ago. And I was young. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I walked up to him, or he appeared in front of me. And it was a beautiful scene. There was a pond just nearby, and it was very serene. And he gave me a big hug. And then he said a few words to me, which were meaningful. And then I stepped back, and I pointed over to the side, and I said, well, what about those people over there? And over there was a barn full of people that were, they had chains on them. They were sliding around in manure, and it was all dark and black, and it was cold. And then when I turned around, Jesus wasn't in front of me anymore. He was like over there now, and he wasn't looking at me. He was kind of looking away. And I got the distinct impression that I should not have cared about those people over in the barn that were languishing with chains and in the manure, because that's where they belong. Here I was. I had Jesus the Christ in front of me. He was giving me a hug. He was giving me love. That's what I should have paid attention to. So if that ever happens to you, because apparently I've had other people tell me the same thing, they've asked questions, what about those folks over there? What about poverty? And they got the same response, silence. So when Jesus appears to you, or Mother Mary, or Father Joseph, or whomever, don't take your eyes off them. Ask, what will you have me do? Or, please love me. Something like that. Don't let your intellectual mind start asking questions about, so are there really such thing as UFOs? Try to stay stay with the program. You have come to a point, a very, very, very important point, where you have the materialization or the manifestation of a divine spiritual being in front of you. This is the best time to ask those questions about, how can I be a better soul? Or may I have more love? Or whatever you wish to pray for. At least that's my guidance. And I know you'll probably forget, because you'll be startled when this appearance of this icon, this divine being appears. But if you can remember, good for you. But don't look away. Keep them in your sight. And so the meaning of our friend's vision of Christ with a sword, a sickle, a cleaver in his hand, is that the unbelievers are going to be taken away. That can be disasters, storms, mudslides, whatever. The thing we think it is so terrible, I'm not going to say what it is. But it could be right, could be wrong. But the idea is that we can be protected. What's the test to be a believer? And then what do you do as a believer? Well, you become prepared. Be prepared. We've heard that over and over on the show. And I'm not trying to tease you or to give you something it's just something really bad is coming across the land, North America. And so be prepared. We'll talk more as time gets into it, but this is a start off of how to take the spiritual communications that we're getting and put them all together. And that's why I'm asking you as my audience from all over the world, the 718-766-4421 phone number to call tonight while we're on the air, or to send us an email. You can do that at minimansions144@gmail.com. Minimansions, plural, 144@gmail.com, or info@douglasjamescottrell.com. And then coming up in February, I'm going to be in Texas, in Fort Worth, starting our Hope Conferences. And I'd like you to join on the Hope Conferences, if you will, so that you'll be able to experience what we're experiencing together. And that is that communication, that ability to come together. And HOPE stands for a heavenly organization that prepares everyone. That's what the HOPE Suite is all about. So please consider coming to Texas. It'll be, I think, in the middle to the last three quarters of February. Apparently, the biggest rodeo, if I said that right, rodeo, is occurring in Fort Worth, Texas, just before that. And so we've had to delay our originally planned conference for just a week after. So come on down to Texas and greet and meet on Friday, spend a whole day with us on Saturday and Sunday morning, and then we'll have a bit of a reception Sunday afternoon. 3 days, a time when you need to be there. The website is douglasjamescottrell.com, and although we have a live ticket up there to click in and order, say we're going to change it a little bit, change the meaning, just because we have just found out tonight that, once again, the biggest rodeo in the United States, or in Texas for that matter, is going to happen right now for the next couple of weeks until about the 3rd of February. So bear in mind that my mild calendar change is coming up. Let's go to the phones, Paul, and see who we can talk to. We have Carol and Karen with their little symbol hands up here, and we have Margaret in New York. And the number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. Who are we going to first? Eeny, meeny.
We are going to Karen in Chicago, Douglas.
Hello, this is Karen calling from Chicago.
Hi, Karen. I see you called in on the show even before we get going. How do you do that?
I just call, press the number one, and I'm in, and I'm on the waiting list.
Okay, well, you have power. I see that. Okay, so go ahead. What's up? Have you seen Jesus or Mary? Okay.
This was years ago. I did see an angel. I don't know if I saw, I believe I saw a person dressed as an angel, but it wasn't Halloween time, but there was somebody walking down the street. I was looking out my window, and he was dressed as an angel, and he was just walking down the street. So I always can remember that. He had wings and everything. I was just like, where's this guy going? And there is a man in Chicago. Years later, there's a man in Chicago who dresses like Jesus. And he always comes out around Easter time, but he takes the bus and the train, and he wears a long robe with he has long brown hair, and he's been seen like all over, like in the Chicagoland area, on the train and on the buses. So and he says, I think he's an actor or something, but he always like gives out cards about Jesus and God and stuff. So I haven't seen any. I mean,
well, I was kind of hoping that you saw the celestial one.
No, I haven't seen any of that. But I do notice now because people, there's been so much going on in the world that a lot of people are wearing a lot the miraculous medal of Mary. The one, I think that's from France.
What's that?
A lot of people have
that?
Been. It's a medal from France, the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Okay, medal from France. And did you give it a name?
Yeah, I think it's just an Immaculate Medal, Immaculate Medal from Mary, Mother Mary. And a lot of people, within my circle, I've gone out to lunch, and a lot of people have been wearing that medal and ordering it, and it's supposed to cure you for health problems, or if you have something going on, you can, you know, use that medal and pray with it. And so just recently I met up with a gentleman at our dinner party, and he said that he had a rosary, but he was looking for the medal, and I told him, oh, you can get it on Amazon, and then he bought it right then and there through his phone. But there's a lot of people that have been using that lately.
I see it. It's quite a. There's gold ones, or silver ones, and there's small ones. There's vintage French miraculous medal, Mary Protection Religious Medal Pendant Immaculate, 1496. 14 karat gold, solid gold, 550. And then it looks like there's a large blue miraculous medal for necklace, blue enamel, $16.95. So that's pretty cool. You can get, well, here's one for $2.08. The price point for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a picture of Mother Mary. It says, what does it say? Pennant. And label original concept something OPA. I got, it must be a different language. Anyway, that's amazing. So a lot of people are taking to wearing these things. Are they Catholics or they everybody?
Yes. Lots of people I talked to, they're Catholic, but and they were from either France or they're from Poland. A lot of Spanish people as well wear use that medal as well.
Okay. It says, O Mother, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us.
That's the one? That's the one.
Okay, that's kind of neat. Okay. Well, again, everybody, we have no financial gain in this whatsoever. Karen is not a broker for these people or anything like that.
No.
I'm just saying that for people, just to, you know, as I always do, an old disclaimer. So you've noticed a lot of people are wearing these things, all of a sudden, spontaneously starting to wear that? Wow.
Yes. I would say within the past year, I've come across
they
talked about it.
Well, I know St. Christopher medals were out there for travel, right? For the protected travelers.
Yes.
And, you know, the angel Reuben, if I got that right? Angel, what's the angel, though? Reuben? Raphael's who I'm thinking, yes.
Raphael's
the angel. Yeah, so that's a traveler's medallion or somebody to protect you. Sorry, it's just floating in my head. Very good, Karen. That's news to me, but that's a good thing.
And I also used to collect, now that I think about it, an infant of Prague statue. And I would always go and I would always find infant of Prague statues, and their hands would be broken, and I would always like repair them. And I just had a huge collection, and I had so many of them that I started giving them out to people, some friends and family. But that's another.
Wow.
But I haven't seen one in a long time. For a while I was seeing that a lot, or coming across those little religious statues.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you're bringing that up, because it didn't occur to me, but that's what we need. We need to have a talisman, or we need to have something that we can look at that reminds us of our prayers. As humans, as we know, humans forget. You know, we pray and then we forget. And if we have something like a talisman or a medal or a little such a trinket, if I can call it that, that just reminds us of the greater consciousness, reminds us of our prayers, reminds us that we're not alone. And I would encourage anybody to have something like that, irrespective of what your religious background would be, is to have something that you can see or look at. Rosary is good. A ring is good. Something that a bracelet or whatever, a charm that you look at and say, yes, I am loved. I'm not alone. But anyway, Karen, that's very good. I never thought of that. No, that fits into the show tonight very well.
I also have one quick question. I'm wondering if you see me at another company. My boss has I've been doing well in my work, and I think my boss has just been like really snapping at me, and I was doing really well, you know, getting like we kind of do like sales almost, where you know we talk to a lot of people and we get bonuses, and I'm just wondering if maybe he has someone else in mind for my job, because he was very snappy, and or if you see me working somewhere else.
Did he just start being snappy with you? Like,
yes,
get
yes,
this and do yes, that, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but kind of insulting me and like saying like just being very rude. And I didn't want to argue with him because I knew I would have quit. But I'm just wondering if he's going to continue that, because I'm about ready to look for another job.
Okay, well, first case, first step is to go to him and tell him that. And you say, you know, you probably have a lot on your mind, and I suspect you have some worries. But, you know, if I'm not doing something properly or whatever, there's no need to be, you know, I'm approachable, you know, I'm here to work for you. And sort of you say to him, you know, there's no need to be angry with me. If I'm not doing something, tell me what it is I need to do. You know, sort of give him the benefit before you quit of bringing it to his attention. And then,
okay.
But I think he's having some difficulties in his own life, and he's taking it out on you.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think it's your problem. I think it's his. So you go to him and you say, you know, like simple and easily, like, I notice a change in your attitude, or I know that, you know, we don't have that rosy, comfortable feeling around here anymore. And that, you know, if I've done anything wrong, let me know. I'll correct it. And if you don't know you haven't done anything, you know, you're fine. Say, well, I got to tell you, you know, the way you've been treating me is I've been thinking maybe it's time for me to go look someplace else. Okay?
No.
And that'll hit him right between the eyes, because nobody likes to go through the process of having somebody quit and then have to hire somebody, retrain them, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But my answer is that I think he's got other issues, and, you know, just taking it out on you.
Okay.
So have that with him, and then that's the answer. I don't think you need to go someplace else.
Okay.
But if he says, yes, I don't like the color of your hair, he can say, well, okay, hallelujah, bye.
Okay.
And I don't see any issues with your work. Just something's going on in his life.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Karen. And you know, we wish you the best for 2023. But think about being a believer. What is a believer to you? I don't want you to comment tonight. but I'm saying that to everybody. What I've been able to do is to look through time and space and see what's going on in somebody's head that I've never met through Karen's mind, because I'm looking sort of through the mind. And that's a demonstration of how God looks at us. You know, God watches everything we do. And so to be a believer, there's no doubt. You just believe in God Almighty. And then all the other aspects of the belief of God can be summed up in gratitude. Just be, I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for everything. Because one day, sooner or later, this life's going to stop and you will be no more. So enjoy all the ups and downs, the meandering through life, the challenges, and look upon it having an eternity in mind, the point of view from eternity. And then, you know, does it really matter that the boss is having a hard day? No, it's his problem. But I'm not going to let his problem become my problem. I'm going to go home and say, hey, Bill or Sam or Charlie, you know, listen, what's going on here? You know, like, I like it here. If you got a problem with me, I'll leave. You know, well, I wouldn't be so confronting as that. I would be more like, you know, as you would in your nice little way. I'm trying to give you a different perspective. And but everybody out there is going, yeah, I can understand that, because we all make mistakes. And looking back, it's kind of like you can't fix a mistake. It's over. Opportunities, when they're coming, you have to jump on them right away because they pass by. And they always look bigger leaving than they did coming. So be aware. I'm talking to everybody now, Karen. But anyway, okay. That's it. I would get one of those. I like those. I'm looking at them again now. The Mother Mary, they have colored ones with a blue background. They have, you know, yellow gold and precious metal, $282. And they've got mine, you know, $2.08.
Yeah, most people have the silver one with the card attached.
Yeah, that's what this one is. It says holdtheart.com. I'll give them a plug. But, yeah, they've got, well, they've got all kinds of the price ranges here. Anyway, so there you go, my friends. Thank you very much for the heads up on that, Karen. Take care, and we'll talk with you next time. Okay. Where are we going next, Paul?
Douglas, we're going to New York, and we've got Margaret on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Douglas.
Hi, what's up? Have you had a vision of Jesus the Christ or anything like that?
No, I did not. I haven't seen anybody, or I don't remember anything of that kind. But what happened to me was I heard something in like 30 years ago, and I was surprised because I didn't know what that was. And I could only much later say what that voice was about and where it came from. And this voice also had some warnings, brought some warnings to me. It was in a time, it was in the mid-80s, and I was watching life closely. That I was used to that because I was working with children, and I knew something was up, something was wrong, and I couldn't put my finger on it. It was just, it felt bad, many little things. And then all of a sudden came this voice and said to me, no, this is not your personal crisis, this is more. And I thought, okay. And at some point I knew this was the beginning, or this I heard too, this is the beginning of the end. And I thought, okay, what end might it be? So, and in the process I understood this was the beginning of democracy in decline. And I have observed the first signs of which we now see the grown-up version. And so this voice came up over the years, over and over, and called me out of everything what my life was about. It started with the relationship to my boyfriend that was over, and things at my job, turned really bad. I had no clue. So many things happened at once. And I was little by little called out of everything. I was called out of my job, I was called out of democracy. I was ending up in exile, exile from democracy, which is scary. Okay, I kept listening to that voice. I thought, okay. I was constantly in the challenge, put into the challenge to either merge to fear or follow that voice and find courage. And this was a process that did not stop, that went on over the years. And at some point, I didn't know how to call this voice, so I called it it. But I understood later it was the Holy Spirit that called me out. And the Holy Spirit led me into a process to say goodbye to my old life and led me to the door of something totally new, what is not only my personal challenge, which is a challenge of humanity as a whole. Because what I also understood in this process was that I had to go through that alone to help people later. And I didn't know I had to wait 30 years for that to happen. But when COVID unfolded, I could, because I had to go through a process, and this process took long. And when COVID unfolded, I saw that humanity was in the same situation as I was. I was locked in between a life I couldn't go back to anymore and didn't want to go back to anymore, because it became unbearable, and how humans treat each other and everything. It was just getting really bad. Freedoms were taken and everything. It's just what we see today on a daily basis everywhere, and worse than. It was just in a state of infancy when I observed that. So I understood then when COVID unfolded, humanity as a whole is challenged to face something new, something unfamiliar, something we have never been to before. We all are challenged, like I was on my lonely journey alone, to go into the unknown, and that is ahead of us. So what I learned in all of this is we all, whatever, when we have bad signs coming or we get warnings, these warnings must tell us something, and we are supposed to figure out what they mean. If we do not figure them out, then we run against the wall and we will be hurt. Yes. So then we get a lesson that will be harder and more painful. So the more painful the lesson, it's according to our ignorance. So if we listen sensitively to what God is telling us, we will not get a lot of pain, we will get a challenge, but it is less painful. And humanity is on such a point right now because humanity was ignorant to what God's will was. That's why the pain is increasing, the wars are increasing. We have to listen. And so the new thing what is ahead of us is, and this is a mountain we all have to climb, and it will be a challenge. Because what I found out in my process was going forward and listening to this voice was hard. But it was would have been just as hard to go backwards where I didn't want to go, means back in the society. So I thought, both is a challenge, or both is painful. Like, we are in a rebirth process. We are going through something new. So we will be pushed into this new, and the more we refuse it, the more the pain will be. And but we're heading towards something really good. Only we are so used to things, and we are used to, we have habits and we have our comfortable life and whatever it is. We all have certain things that keep us from moving forward because we don't really like to change. That's what we have all in common. I had my challenges as well and still have. But the outlook, there is no hope in the past. We cannot go back in the past. People who wait for going back to the past, they will have a harsh awakening. And I think these warnings make complete sense to me. of which you just spoke, because we have to move towards something that goes us beyond what we have known. We have known a world that is divided into good and bad, and into people who have and people who have not, into people who live at the cost of others and this kind of thing. And we have to really come to the core of who we are, and that is what you mentioned before, that is love. That we have to be compassionate towards each other. We have to help each other. We have to come to a complete new level of living together, and we will be pushed into this process. And we have no chance to escape it. That's what I know for sure.
Wow. And thank you very much for your comments. I agree. You had a sudden change in your life, right? And you left your old life behind and you started this new life. But what you're talking about in your journey is, I think most of the audience could relate to that. Because what you're saying is to give people some direction and hope. What do you think, Doug?
Well, I think there were many tests along the way, and as you passed each test, more came.
Yes. The tests were there, and
you never gave up.
I didn't. No, I couldn't, because I knew there was nothing for me in the past. I often thought, I want to go back. It was kind of comfortable there. And right in such a moment when those feelings came over me, my head was right away there and said, you know that's not true. You know that you would never feel comfortable there again, because you know it's getting really worse every day. And what we see now, it's so bad. People look for something new. I mean, I cannot imagine people are happy with what's going on. So this is, anyway, these warnings make sense to me, what you were speaking about. I think we have to be able to pioneer. We have to be able to learn something new, and we are challenged beyond what we have known, and that will be the test in my eyes.
Okay, well said. Thank you very much for your call tonight. That's very enlightening, and I agree with everything you said.
Good. Thank you, Doug.
Where are you going next? What's your next achievement, you think?
Well, what I emphasize as... Am I still on? What I was looking, I tried to find the meaning in it all. So I was digging deep. Because if you cannot go back, you have to go so much forward that you know where you find new ground under your feet. I was in the air as an exile from democracy. You are standing at the end of the cliff, and you think, okay, so where do I find safety? Where do I find ground under my feet? And this ground we find only by building a new world in the midst of the world that is falling apart. And the central point in this whole new thing is that we have to, we have to get a more comprehensive idea who God is. And we have in the past emphasized the masculine side of God, and we now will have to emphasize the feminine side of God. This is such a mm-hmm. challenge, just like when Jesus appeared, the challenge will be just as great, or how do you say it, or as big or difficult. So it's something new, and it's something into something unknown. That's our challenge. This is what came to me, and this is what I learned. That's all I can say right now.
Well, the idea, Margaret, this was the Red Sea time of your life. When there's nowhere to go, you know, you go straight forward and you hope the troubles part like the Red Sea. So these lessons in life, that's what you were describing. You came to a certain time in your life where you were, the old was behind you and there didn't seem to be any place else to go, but you just kept on going and then you evolved. So I call it the Red Sea time of your life. So very good.
Yeah.
I think people are taking taking note of what you said tonight. So we have a few more calls, and is there anything I can do for you, or you know, any questions?
Well,
I agree
I'm
with what you said.
Like
what you said was from the heart. Okay, that was very profound, and I think everybody listening could relate to that. But when there's nowhere to go, just keep going. And I often say, don't run away. Stand still and wait, and a path or a way, a place will be shown. And this is what Margaret is saying. And democracy has changed, that's for sure. And we should all be on guard for that. But remember always, you know, God above is the one that, the higher power we should obey. And what's going on here in the mundane world, as much as I don't like the changes that are taking place myself in some of the political aspects, it's all going to go away. It's all going to change. And whatever the end result is going to be, we get a little glimpse of it. Hopefully it's going to be a lot better than this time we're in.
Mm-hmm. I have a thought to that because when it comes to politics, that you can find what I'm speaking about is visible in every area of life, be it in the family, be it in politics. What we observe is an increase of division while we all want to unite, and we don't know how to get there. We see division everywhere, within the family, between generations, between nations. New wars are emerging, and we have to come to the point that we find our common denominator and go to that ground. And for that to happen, we all need new knowledge. We need something we have not had before, we have not heard about before. There will be no prosperity or no progress to old terms. Einstein said we cannot solve problems with the mindset that created them. We have to get something new. And God is handing out knowledge to us in order to make it through this transition into this new time. This knowledge exists. And we can speak about that at another point because there are other people waiting, but I just would like to know, everybody to know, this is about uniting wherever there's division. That is the point we have to get to.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
That's all.
Exactly
that's
right.
All
whenever there's separation, that's well said, Margaret. Whenever there's separation, there's problems. And uniting, coming together, working out with each other, that's God in action. So well said tonight, Margaret. Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you very much for being on the show. And
we'll
look forward to hearing from you again. You're welcome, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
And I guess we're heading up to Chicago now.
Yes, we are. Carol is on the line. Douglas?
Well,
hello,
Carol.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, Carol.
Yes, can you hear me?
5x5.
Can you hear me?
That means yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Okay. One of the ways I think that we can, you know, one of the ways I think we can connect to the divine is either through more prayer, meditation, and or chanting, whatever one you prefer. Because I notice that when I get quiet, I feel I am connecting to the divine. Although, when I heard that choir, I was totally awake, and not just doing anything. And I heard a choir. So, you know, it didn't even last a minute, but that was proof that, hey, the other side is not bad, and don't be afraid. Tune in. And stay on that path of enlightenment.
And for our audience, that means that you had an experience where when you were in a light state of meditation or having a little rest, you heard this ta-da choir in your mind's eye or in your mind, right?
I was not in meditation or anything. I was just doing what I regularly do, and all of a sudden I heard this incredible choir. And it didn't last even a minute, And I said, well, what the holy heavens is going on here? I heard the choir. And but I do know that when you meditate or you pray or you chant, whatever one you do, you get closer to the divine and you get closer to the answers that you ask. I mean, the questions that you ask, you get closer to your answers. And that's one of the ways of tuning in to the divine and staying on that path of enlightenment, whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. It's when you're in a, you know, if you're doing a routine thing, you know, you're not paying attention, you're just going through, you know, casually around the house, you're actually changing. You're going into an alpha state of mind and you don't know it. There's no, there's nothing that, you know, no signpost. So when you get to that point and you hear that music, though, you're really touching upon some higher dimension or, you know, something of the divine. But you say it went on for a minute. That means it wasn't just a blast of sound.
It didn't go on for a minute.
Was it like
and I was not praying or doing anything or chanting or anything like that. I was just doing what I would ordinarily do, and that choir came on. And I'm talking about, whoa, that was incredibly peaceful. And I don't mind going to the other side anytime. I got to go. I'm gone. Whew.
Well, we're glad you didn't leave permanently and that you're here to, you know. That's a clairaudient experience when you hear those divine sounds. Doug, have you had any experiences like that where you've heard music in your mind, like Carol has?
Not music. I've heard other things, but not music.
Hmm.
Why? And Dr. Contra, isn't the key to connecting with the divine, the universe, whatever you call it, isn't one of the key is meditation? Because a lot of people that I interview said the key to heightening your innate psychic abilities or getting the answers to your questions is sitting back, getting quiet, and listening. And they used to, and they teach it in schools now. You know, not a lot of them, but teach little kids. They're sitting there, they're meditating, and they're doing it. And even in the prisons, they've done it before, and it was successful. So I don't know why. You know, it'll catch on pretty soon.
Well, meditation is a natural occurrence. How many people out there have had a daydream and you catch yourself in this dream and you know, time has gone by, or you're driving the car and all of a sudden you wake up, so to speak, and all of a sudden you realize you've been driving the car for 3 blocks and you don't know where you came from. You know, you've been driving straight in the line, you've been doing okay, you didn't run over anybody, but you don't remember. That's called the ever-present moment. And when you're in that ever-present moment, you do lose time. You know, time becomes a long period of time becomes a short period, or you believe it is, or you think about it. It's not like my grandson who thought that a 150-kilometer trip to Marineland only took 5 minutes. And he wanted his mommy and daddy to take him. They said, oh, it's a long way. And he said, no, mommy, it's only take 5 minutes. And I said, well, why do you say that? He said, well, I get in the car, I fall asleep, and 5 minutes later I wake up and we're there. So time is relative, right? So anyway, the point being is that when you're in that state of meditation, it's a profound state. To be aware while you're in meditation is even a more profound state. That might sound like a counterintuitive statement, but the point being is that when you're aware of everything around you, the ever-present moment, you're in a different type of mind. You're into that intuitive mind or the subconscious mind or super subconscious mind, if we want to put titles on it. So meditation is a time for relaxation or contemplation. And then you can do an introspection where you go through your body and you see any knots in your shoulders or your legs or your back, and you think about them, and you might use some visualization of seeing massage hands just going through the moment, movements on your back and your muscles relax. Or you might see something else, that you see somebody untying a knot in a piece of rope. You know, create a visualization. And that's sending messages to your body. So while you're doing this mental work, you're not really zonked out or you're not really unconscious. It's that you're in a contemplative watching kind of mode where you're using symbols, like undoing knots and a piece of rope in your mind's eye is translated or extrapolated to undoing the knots that the muscles might be in and your body relax. And with training and with practice, more exactly, practice is better than training, you get to do these things very quickly. And then remember, dreams, relaxation, all are combined with what we call sleep. And sleep is another form of mental activity. Your mind never stops. How come I can hear an echo? Here we go. And so as we, there we go, the echo's gone. And so as we understand that this is a natural state to be in, we don't need to learn how to do it. We just need to realize that we're doing it. When you're driving down the road or you're sitting in the passenger seat looking out the window and your mind drifts away, you're in a very deep state of meditation. The thing is, we don't have hooks, names, signposts, flags to say that you're in a state of meditation. If the idea is that you're already there, what you do with it, that moment that you're in, that time that you're in, that's the important thing. And that's where you need some training, like being able to see yourself in the future, being able to see a problem and watching the problem unfold in front of you to come up with a solution. It's like being able to see a mechanical piece of equipment, and you're taking it apart in your mind and then putting it back together. Some people struggle with that, and other people do it as child's play. So practicing and doing all these mental gymnastics or, let's say, abilities, those are all states of meditation. Meditation means above attention, and the attention means to be in your thinking, ordinary, working, waking state of mind. So how do you get to deeper states of meditation? Well, you go through the practice, distraction with music, candle scenting, water dripping, you know, little fountains in the background. That distracts your conscious mind. That allows your subconscious mind to come to the forefront or the surface. The same as when you're driving a car and, you know, you got somewhere or you're walking along the beach and all of a sudden you wake up and you say, how did I get here? And you look behind you and there's footprints as far as you can see. And you don't recollect any of those footsteps. You just all of a sudden woke up. Those are profound states of meditation. But anyway, Carol, I'll get back to your question. Yes, they're teaching it in school, and they would be teaching what I would call contemplation or relaxation. My mentor would have called it vegetation, as he once kidded me. So as you learn to relax your body, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. The next step is, where do you go with your mind? Like in your dreams, where do you go? Can you incubate a dream? Can you dream, tell yourself, I'm going to have a dream tonight. I want to know the answer to this problem, or I want to know the outcome of this business deal or some circumstance that's about to happen. We don't think of it as seeing the future, but it is. When you're asking in a dream state to see how something's going to turn out, you're looking at and peering into the future. So there are all different levels of meditation, Carol. But to sit there and relax and do an introspection, you know, see your heart slow down, see the blood pumping in your body, going to your fingers and toes and seeing the kinks in your body unkinking, you know, relaxing. Those are all mental control over your physical form while you're in a state of detachment or contemplation, which is a high degree of meditation. If that's what you were asking, or if that's what you were in schools, it's very important. The first thing to agree to do when you're doing meditation is turn off your cell phone. Stay out of the room where your computer is. Go into a nice, pleasant state. Go outside and sit under a tree. And the ambiance and the communication with nature, because there's life in grass and a tree, and even a rock has a vibration or a life. And that amplifies the vibration in yourself. Where you're sitting in front of a cell phone, that cell phone's putting off radiation, and that's going through you. That's disrupting. Never put your cell phone in your bra, ladies. Never put your cell phone in your pants pocket, guys. It's going to affect your hips or your breast in a negative way. That is to say, if you do it all the time, once in a while, it's not going to hurt. Best to wrap it up in some sort of tin foil kind of magnetic bag that doesn't let the radiation from the phone go through your skin. Have you ever held your phone in your hand and all of a sudden your finger hurts or your palm of your hand hurts? That's because that phone is sending a frequency through your finger or your palm, and it hurts. And if you read the fine print in the cell phone, I know we don't, somewhere along there it'll say keep that cell phone 9 centimeters away from your body. That's 18 inches. Or thereabouts, 15 inches. Okay, Carol, a few minutes left in the show. What else?
Yeah, and have you ever considered inviting Nikki? I guess she's a psychic astrologer on your show, because she's not too far from you.
Well, I don't know Nikki, and I haven't got Nikki's address. What do you think, Doug? It's time to have an astrologer on the show? Absolutely, we give it a try, wouldn't we?
Sure.
Doug's got his birth date and time of birth down. We can, you know, make Doug the guinea pig. He can do an astrological reading on him.
I don't look like a guinea pig. Maybe I act like one.
No,
sometimes,
I said you could. I said you could be the guinea pig. So tell Nikki to call us or give us an email, Carol.
Okay, because she's a astrologer and psychic to the stars. I'm surprised you haven't heard of her. But anyway,
there's a lot of people I don't know of.
But my last question is, Dr. Cottrell, when you said that the girl down the street had yellow on and it turned, now it's turning dark. Now, what is dark? Explain what you saw or what you feel when you see, you said the word dark is getting dark. What does dark mean?
Dark means dirty, fading. You know, if you have a bright green, bright yellow color, and then it fades into a pastel, it gets dark or dingy,
yes,
losing
but
its vitality. That's a vitality in her life, or vitality in her, you know, let's say she's moving to depression.
Okay. I don't know if it was aura or what. Or the other side.
Yeah,
or
same
what
thing.
Hmm?
Yeah, it's a diminishing. The life force is diminishing. So, yeah, when somebody's aura, you know, when you're looking at somebody's aura and you can see that they're getting close to making the transition, the aura turns dark and it turns, it doesn't radiate out from the body. It's like a light bulb that's losing its light. Gets dark, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a colleague of mine said that. She said that. She said, that's not what it means to me. And then she said exactly what you said.
Okay, there you go. Two of your friends can't be wrong at the same time.
Mm-hmm. She listens to you. She,
okay, Carol.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, well, we wish you well. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, and we're calling it a night tonight. Thanks for being on the show, Carol. I'll get back to you. Yes,
oh,
the envelope is nearby. Nearby.
It's going to turn brown. I mean, it's going to turn black on your desk.
No, it's not. It's right. Anyway, thanks for being on the show, Carol. God bless. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, gentlemen, that's the coming up to the end of the show here. Paul, have you ever had it asking you about experiences where you had a divine being show up in your life or in your dreams or vision?
You know, Douglas, I don't know if I've had a divine being. I've just had prophetic dreams, and I have had dreams where things that did come about later were in the dream. So I've had predictive dreams, if you will. But I don't think I've had any avatar or vision of the Christ other than the chanting people in the streets. But those were thousands of people who were just chanting "Illuminate the Christ," but Christ obviously was not in the crowd, or if he was, he didn't reveal himself.
Well, that's because he was standing behind you, apparently.
It could be.
If it's anything like Doug Bentley, you know, God was standing right behind you, right? No, I'm kidding about that. You know, Doug has had a profound experience because it was concerned. You had a profound experience, but it had a different message. But it was similar. Illuminate the Christ. Right. It's very important. So, but anyway, it was an experiment tonight about to see if there were people who had similar experiences. It seems to be that it's coming at me, at least from different parts of the country and the world, that Christ is busy. He's out there. Jesus the Christ, as I like to call him, is out there dropping in on people in dreams or visions or visitations, as has been the case of Mary and other deities, angels, and divine beings. Heck, I've even shown up in some people's dreams, and they've called me up and said I was in their dream last night and they were feeling better, whatever their problem was. So that spiritual quality, that spiritual aspect of ourselves, when you choose a life of service, it's a profound state to be in, but it's in the ever-present moment, and so you can get around, and that's why divine beings can visit everybody in the same night, should there be a will or a desire to do so. And I should add for everybody, you know, it's not lucky that people have the vision of a divine being. It's a privilege. They are coming to you and allowing you to see them, even if they don't do anything, and just stand there and you see them as standing at the foot of your bed, which I've had a divine being, didn't say anything, just smiled at me. And I was wide awake, asleep. I couldn't move my body, and I was wide awake. And that's another phenomena, another level of consciousness. But it's a privilege when they are revealing themselves. It's like when mom and dad pass away and they come back and they stand at the foot of your bed, or they you can see them. They look like they're about 35 or 40. They're happy. They're smiling. They don't say anything. And you wake up in the morning, what was that all about? Well, it was mom or dad coming back and letting you know they're all right. Letting you know they're watching over you. They don't need to say anything. And then sometimes they can't say anything. They're in another dimension where words don't matter. So we're going to end the show tonight by saying, if you have any visitations, if you have any messages, you know, let us know. Send us an email, and we're going to sort of combine them all. And in the next little while, we'll be putting out some information, a newsletter, and we'll try to recount these visions. It's very, very important, because when spiritual beings show up, it's kind of like the air raid sirens are going off, the 911 flashing lights on the first responders are going off. It's like somebody with a bullhorn screaming, but all we really hear is something really nice, something quiet, and a little subtle image of something happening. But that little something is just as I said, it's like a megaphone. Pay attention. So, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, and thank everybody for being on the show tonight. That lady from New York, very profound statements. As always, Karen and Carol chiming in with some wonderful comments, and some people listening in the 773 and the 570 area code. Thank you for joining the show tonight. Last word, Paul.
I did have a dream right after my father passed. He came to me in a dream wearing a mildly glowing gold-colored jacket. He didn't say anything, but he seemed to be happy, and that jacket to me represented he had ascended to a place where, after years of having polio and getting out of that body, he was home again.
And shimmering vitality, full of energy. He got his gold badge, you know, that life of service or whatever. Very good.
It was profound. I have never forgotten that dream. And again, no communication, just the feeling that he had ascended to a place where he deserved to be.
And I would argue that he was communicating. The message he gave
yes.
you was, you couldn't articulate, but he gave you a very definite message, and that's why you always remember it.
Yes. Thank you, Doug. That's right.
I agree.
And I would just make one comment
anyway.
About visitations, and that is that, to me, if we have an increasing number of visitations and sightings of spiritual beings, that's to help us in these troubled times. They're here.
They're here
to help us.
Exactly.
Well, everyone, any last word, Doug? I guess that was it.
That was my last word.
Okay. Well, everyone, thanks for being on the show tonight. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. We're broadcasting worldwide thanks to the production of the show with Paul Hughes tonight. And appreciate you guys being on the show with me. We'll keep on keeping on. And this is going to be a year of changes and modifications here, even on our Blog Talk Radio. So it might even change tonight, my friends, or might do more shows. We'll keep you posted. Email info@douglasjamescottrell.com. Visit my website, www.douglasjamescottrell.com, and or take a look at internationalschooloftheprophets.com to join us on Sundays for our virtual healing service. We've got twice as many people now as we had just a month ago, and we look forward to you joining in with us on Sunday from all over the world. And this is a place for spiritual prayers and healing and comments, and we have a talk every Sunday as well. So you'll find it inspirational. We hope that it will be meaningful to you, and some virtue healing will go to you, and you will join our community. We all have to look out for each other. We're all one. So with that, my friends, I'll say goodnight. God bless everybody. God bless America going through this time of difficulty. We want also to remember Pope Benedict at his passing. May he ascend to the highest level in the heavens above and be welcomed into the heavens above by all the angels and avatars and saints and those that have preceded him. May he find his home in the heavens above comfortably, and may he be surrounded with love. To everyone tonight, I want to say good night. And, here we are. Remember, we have this little munchkin Mercury going backwards in the sky. So a few delays, a few interruptions. Keep your patience. Be tolerant and keep moving. This is Douglas James Cottrell on behalf of Doug Bentley and Paul Hughes saying good night. May God bless you with health, wealth, and peace of mind. And may all of your dreams come true. Good night, my friends. Until next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village International Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by Mind Probe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2022, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.